Good morning. Welcome to our online worship service. We trust you are able to cope with all the restrictions that we're enduring during these days. And we do pray for those who are suffering from the coronavirus, those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. Our message today is going to be words of comfort for God's people. The scripture is in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And we'd like to read that at this time, beginning at verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let's look over at verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your grace and love to us. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank you for these words of comfort that we find in the book of Isaiah. And throughout the scriptures, how you love us and care for us, and that you're willing to help us in every situation, no matter what may be happening around us. May we look to you, our Father, with faith, believing, trusting, and asking you to help us in every situation of life. We do pray for those who are going through a very difficult time right now. We know that many are out of their work and unable to provide as they would like to. We know there are others that are very, very ill, and those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. So we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to have mercy and to bless and to strengthen and to encourage each one. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in all that we do and say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Words of comfort to God's people. The book of Isaiah is like a miniature Bible. It has 66 chapters, just like the Bible has 66 books. The first 39 chapters correspond to the Old Testament, the speaking of God's judgment upon the nation of Israel and the other nations. The last 27 chapters speak of God's comfort and grace, just like much of the New Testament, where it presents salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ so clearly. This last section begins here in chapter 40, where we read this morning. And speaking here specifically about the ministry of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner for the Lord Jesus. And we'll read that in just a moment. Isaiah was writing to encourage his people to not fear their enemies, but to put their trust in their all-powerful God. Although they would go into captivity because of their sin, the Lord had promised to deliver them and restore them to the place of blessing. And we find that throughout the scriptures, that God has promised so many wonderful things that will be happening in the future. We just have to put our faith and confidence in Him and make it through the difficult times. So, looking at this message of comfort, he starts off, comfort ye, my people, saith your God, the people of God. At this time, of course, he's writing to the nation of Israel, specifically to Judah, where Isaiah was primarily working. But the people of God, comfort my people, he says. And certainly the people of God need to be comforted, and we can look to the Lord and know that he loves us and cares for us, and that he's always on hand to help us in every situation. He is the God of all comfort, the scripture says. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So he's saying that God comforts us so that we can help others as well and encourage them and show them what God can do. His word brings comfort to his people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The Word of God is always comforting as we read and realize that we are His people, that He loves us and cares for us, and that we can trust Him. Trust Him in every situation of life. As it says in the book of Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You know, the Holy Spirit has come to live in the life of the believer, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. And the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, the one who is called alongside to help us. In John chapter 14, and verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, the Lord Jesus said. And so he has provided the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to enable us to make it through whatever circumstances we might find ourselves in the very worst of times. God's servant here was called to bring the message of comfort to God's people. Notice in verse 2, he says, "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. She has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." So, Jerusalem, the city of God, the place where the temple was located, the place where people could worship the Lord, he's saying, her warfare is accomplished. The battle is over. You know, sometimes it seems like the warfare continues on. We never finish. There's always something going on. But the Lord is promising that he will give peace if we'll trust in him. Her iniquity is pardoned. Now, the most wonderful thing in the world is to know that you are not condemned. You know, you don't have a sin accounted to your case. And we can look at that and say, hey, you know, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We have salvation. What wonderful news that is. You know, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That was his primary purpose, that they might save people from their iniquity. There's a scripture in Luke chapter 2 where it's speaking about this man prophesying about Jesus coming. Luke 2:25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." So here, speaking about the Lord Jesus, he says, he has come to lighten the Gentiles, those who did not have any light, those who did not have the scriptures, those who were in darkness. Jesus has come to turn the light on, to show them who God is and what he means and the way of salvation. And he's the glory of the people of Israel. Jesus is the one who has come to bring salvation and eternal life. Excuse me. Then notice it on down to verse 3 here, we find the voice of the prophet. The voice of the prophet. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Who does that sound like? All four of the Gospels apply these verses to John the Baptist. For example, in Matthew chapter 3, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." So there's no doubt that this scripture is referring to John the Baptist. It says in the book of John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to the light. That true light, that light is every man that cometh into the world. And John was there to announce him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John was a desert prophet who prepared the way for the Lord Jesus and announced his coming. Now here it speaks about raising the valleys. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low, and crooked places made straight, the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. This is figurative language, of course. Raising the valleys, lowering the mountains. This is speaking about when a dignitary would come through, they would prepare everything ahead of time. Like we would say, roll out the red carpet, right? And make everything appropriate for this celebrity or whoever is coming. And here, John was preparing the way for the Lord of heaven and earth, who came in the person of Jesus Christ. And John was preparing the way for him. And then the glory of the Lord was to shine through him. It shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So Jesus came in fulfillment to John's message, his preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And the glory of the Lord was revealed. It says in John chapter 1, verse 14, the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we find Jesus coming into the world. Then the next point is the helplessness of people. You know, the world was lost in sin, without hope, without help, and Jesus came to save us. In verse 6, it says, "The voice said, cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass." You know, you see a beautiful field, all nice and green, but if it doesn't rain on it, if it doesn't get the proper care, before you know it, it's all turning brown and it dies. Grass is a very fragile thing, very temporary. And he says people are like this, you know. We are here only for a short time, and we need to prepare ourselves for what's to follow. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You see, that's the contrast, isn't it? We as people are very temporary, but God's word is eternal. It will last forever. And this is the helplessness of people. God, on the other hand, never fails, or he never changes. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." He's always the same. His word is sure, and he will endure forever. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Jesus said, you must be born again, right? And it comes through hearing the word of God and believing it, receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. He goes on to say, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So here Peter is quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, isn't he? The very same words, and he says that this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's only in the gospel that we find eternal life, the good news of salvation for those who are destined to die. What then? Well, the gospel says that Jesus came forth from the grave, and because he lives, we shall live also. So we have the hope of the resurrection. And looking here then, the good tidings, we find beginning in verse 9, it says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, or good tidings is another way of saying good news, isn't it? The gospel. The gospel is the good news. Get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. See, this is the message that we're looking at today, isn't it? Lift up your voice and say, behold your God. Where is your God? Who is your God? And our God is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is our God in human flesh. Behold your God. He was announcing the coming of God here on earth. This was the message that was to be proclaimed. The good tidings, the good news, the gospel. God is here. And you know God is here. He is here today, even though we don't see him. But the Holy Spirit of God is living here on earth, and he is in each and every one of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. So we can thank him for that. He'll come again. Jesus said he was coming again in person to rule and reign here on the earth. So we have a lot of good things to look forward to. Notice it says in verse 11, God shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather his lambs with the arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are young. Isn't that beautiful? We talked last week about the shepherd, the good shepherd, and how he handled the sheep and cared for them and even died for them. And here it speaks of how he will lead us. Like it says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The question is today, is the Lord your shepherd? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. One of the commentators, Matthew Henry, speaks of the tender care of the Lord for his own people, and he says it like this: He will gather them when they wander, gather them up when they fall, gather them together when they are dispersed, and gather them home to himself at last. And all this with his own arm, out of which none shall be able to pluck them. John 10:28 then says, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So Jesus has promised that we have eternal life through him. Then we see the greatness of God, skipping over to verse 25. God says, speaks here, he says, to whom will you liken me? Who else is like God? I don't think there's anyone else like God, is there? He is the Holy One. He is absolutely holy in all of his ways. People are like grass, as we've seen before. They're soon gone. But God is eternal. He's all-powerful. He is holy and righteous in all of his ways. It says, lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who has created all these things? It's God. He's the creator. That brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. So here we have God in all of his might and power. He does not abandon his children. It says down in verse 28, excuse me, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." This is our God. He never gets tired. It says he doesn't slumber or sleep. He's always alert, and he's always in charge. And God will bring everything to pass as he desires it. It says he giveth power to the faint. Are you faint today, faint-hearted? Look to the Lord. He's able to help you. To them that have no might, he increases strength. The helpless, look to God and allow him to give you that strength that you need so desperately. These last two verses, I love this. I have them underlined in my Bible. It says, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So it doesn't matter how old you may be, or whoever you might be in life, whatever your station in life is, the Lord is able to give you that strength. And it says, "they that wait upon the Lord." You know, sometimes we get impatient, don't we? And it's easy to do. But we need to wait upon the Lord and his timing. And he will renew our strength, no matter who we might be, if we'll only put our faith and confidence in him. He will give the strength to face whatever may come. Even this terrible virus that's going around the world, we can overcome it if we'll put our faith and trust in the Lord and allow him to guide us. It says, "they shall mount up with wings as eagles." You see the beautiful eagles flying in the air, soaring up above everything else. Not a care in the world, it seems. Right? How wonderful that would be if we could live like that. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11 says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, and taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him." Speaking there of Israel, and how God led them. And he will lead us in the same way. Just like the eagle who cares for her young, he is able to help us in our times of need. Mount up with wings as eagles. Wait on the Lord and look to him and allow him to give you that comfort and strength that you need. So I think these are indeed comforting words that God gives to those who trust in him. And that's the crux of the matter. Do we trust in him? Are we waiting for him? Are we looking to him? This is what we need to do as people. He loved us so much that he gave his only son to die in our place, that we might have everlasting life, that we might be forgiven of all of our sins, that we might be saved. The scripture says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does repentance mean? It means you to change your mind about yourself and about God, and that you put your faith and trust in him. You know? We come into this world thinking that we have the right answers, but we have to realize that it's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We need to turn and find the way that God has made for us. through Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's what he says. So, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then certainly this is where it all starts, isn't it? Why not do that today? And put your faith and trust in the Lord. Then, you can claim the wonderful promises that God gives to his people. Father, we thank you this morning for your word to our hearts, and we pray that each one of us would understand. We pray for any who have never trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they might call upon your name, that they might ask you to save them, that they might have eternal life in Christ. And we pray that you'll meet the need of each and every one. We know we live in a sinful world, and there's all kinds of things that are happening all around us. But help us to put our faith and trust in you completely and know that we have salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we'll thank you for it and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.